The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the Post Draft Show. I'm your host, David Williams, along with
the Sam Brewski, and this is Hoop Ball Grizz. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
A lot of fireworks last night, a lot of big names moving, some not so big names moving.
Biggins, though.
But there were a lot of trades, a lot of trades. I was kind of expecting that. I said day before I thought that we were going to see fireworks. You see Al Horford get moved on a contract that everybody's like, oh, nobody's going to take that on. OKC's got the money. I feel like OKC flips him. I think, you know, they took CP3 in that trade. CP3 had voiced, hey, I want out. They looked around for trade suitors, couldn't find anybody, held on to him. He had a great year. They flipped him, got prospects, got picks, turned out pretty well. I think they look to do the same thing with Al Horford.
Why not? You know, he's still a good player.
He definitely is. It was just an awful fit in Philly.
Yeah,
he just
absolutely
didn't. Horford and Embiid operated in the same space, and you can't have that.
Nope.
You know, Embiid's your future. Horford is obviously not. You got to find somebody, find pieces that are compatible, and Horford in Philly just wasn't it. He's not a bad player. I like this move for OKC. They had the cap space. I think that Sam Presti, in the genius that he is, will end up flipping Horford and – I mean, this dude just loads up picks. They have like 743,122.
They'll have like seven picks and like
first
round picks or something like that. It's something
from
crazy.
From now until 2026, I think that it's either 17 or 18 first round picks.
Gosh,
loaded.
That means it's like two. Gosh, yeah. They have 2-3 next year or something like that? That's crazy.
There's no telling. They're probably not going to be lottery picks, but it doesn't matter. It's you're still getting good talent. If you're getting, you know, there's plenty of mid-first-round guys that turn into stars. Giannis was at, 15, 13? You know, mid-first-round guy. He was either right at the lottery or just a little bit outside of it. Do you remember Sam?
Gosh, we looked at it yesterday.
I know, I can't remember.
I don't think he was there. He was the pick before the Hawks.
I think that.
And the Hawks were either 14th or 15th.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can't remember.
I think
where
the Hawks were 15th, and I think Giannis was 14th. You know what?
All right, so Sam's going to pull that up. But anyway, regardless of that, he's going to pull that up just so we know because it's driving us crazy. But there's plenty of talent in the middle part of the middle part of the first round. This draft was loaded with role players. It's loaded with guys that may not necessarily be superstars, but they are going to be longtime NBA players and plus role players, maybe even make some all-star games. There's definitely guys that have the talent to get there. There was just not a definite superstar in the draft. Did you find it, Sam?
Found it. He was 15th.
15.
Yes.
Okay. So
in 2013, he was the 15th pick.
That's outside of the lottery. If their picks end up 15, yeah, I mean, the OKC is probably not going to win many games next year. They're going to be young, and that's okay. They don't have, I mean, they're a team that was a playoff team. I honestly, Al Horford is not going to make the things happen like CP3 did.
No.
And also, you're losing Gallinari. He's not going to be there.
I wish he would stay there because he'll eat there, but.
Yeah, he's probably not, though. There's been talks, there's been a few names kind of thrown around. Atlanta is one of the names that I've seen as a front runner for Gallinari.
Oh, no.
They're going to be trying to compete for the playoffs
in
the East, man.
But no.
Yeah, Sam, like that, if you can't tell by the lack of excitement over there, Sam likes Gallinari. And
I
so
do.
He doesn't want to see him go to a team that he doesn't like to cheer for. So
no, go to Memphis.
We'll get into the Grizzlies made two moves. And I still am in shock. So we were watching the draft, and it was a little bit behind. So I kept my phone turned over so I didn't see any Woj or Shams notifications because I didn't want them to ruin what was happening. I got a text message on my phone, which is a different tone. Everybody knows that, right? And I flip my phone over. I see in the moment that I flip my phone over to open the text message that the Celtics trade the 30th pick. At that point, when the announcement was made, they didn't say who they traded it to. And I looked at Sam. I'm like, dude, the Grizzlies are getting that 30th pick. They're getting it, and they're drafting Desmond Bane.
That would
be
awesome.
And then they announced it. Then, you know, we're sitting here watching. Like I said, our stream was a little bit behind.
Yeah.
But I cannot tell you how excited I was.
Well, that was the thing is we were both sitting there, and you're like, dude, the Grizzlies are trading for that. And I'm like, man, that'd be really cool. You know, that'd be neat. And then it's like, well, it looks like the Grizzlies have traded. You know, they traded. They are getting the 30th pick. And you're like, you stood up. I stood up. You stood up. And I kind of ran it off, kind of, you know, one of those things in the living room. I kind of had to run it off. And then it's like, they take Desmond Bane. What?
TCU, yeah.
What?
And it's so crazy because Isaac was on the last episode. And he's like, if there was one guy that I could move up if he falls, I'm moving up for Desmond Bane, and then bada bing.
There it was.
It went down. You can go back and you can listen to our episode. We talked about Desmond. Let's see here. I've got it. There's two episodes. Obviously, the previous episode with Isaac Simpson, we talked about Desmond Bane. But there's on September 10th, the NBA draft delayed episode. We give you a rundown of Desmond Bane. We're not going to go into a whole lot of detail about Desmond right now. He's going to be a great secondary playmaker. He can shoot the mother stinking lights out, dude. It's going to
– I love it.
This is a guy – I think that he has Mike Miller upside as far as shooting. I do.
Whoa.
Sam just looked at me like I was crazy. But there's videos of this dude knocking down 43 in a row. Yes, it's an open gym, yada, yada, yada.
Gosh.
Don't come at me with that. I understand that part of it.
That.
Can he do it in a game? I think that he can. He shot the ball well at TCU. Gosh. We'll see. Only time will tell. I really like him. Dude is a gym rat. He's going to put in the work. If he gets there and something's not working, he's going to put in the time to improve his game, to do what he does, to get to the next level. Really, really like that pick. So the logistics of that pick are something that it's unclear right now what it's going to be. There's been talks that it's just two future second-round picks that the Grizzlies gave up to move up to get Bane. And then maybe a player. So it's been Poirier or Enes Kanter. Don't know which one. I've read and read and searched and looked and hoped to see some type of, okay, this is how it's going to shake out. But right now, there's nothing set in stone. Don't know exactly what they gave up to move. It's not going to be a whole lot. It's going to be maybe a future second, and they take a little bit of money off of the Celtics books. If it is Enes Kanter, he signed his $5 million player option today. So even if it is Kanter and the Grizzlies take on that $5 million, odds are Kanter is not going to play in Memphis. It'll be a situation similar to Dwight Howard. You know, they traded for Dwight Howard and then cut him, you know, just got rid of him. And that's more than likely what's going to be the case. If there is a player in the deal, that's probably what's going to happen. We'll find out. We'll let you guys know. Whatever it is, I'm going to keep looking, keep reading. When we record again, hopefully we'll have some more details. We'll be able to tell you for sure what they gave up.
We'll know in a few days.
Yeah, yep, for sure.
Yeah.
And then the second move that the Grizzlies made, they gave up the 40th pick and a future second to Sacramento to move up from 40 to 35 to draft Xavier Tillman out of Michigan State. I was happy about that. We talked about Xavier in a previous episode. It was on 925, the NBA Draft Bigs Edition. If you want to go back, if you want to learn more about these players, you can go back and listen to these older episodes, and we give you a breakdown, kind of what their strengths, weaknesses, what they do, what they bring to the table. Very, very quickly on Xavier Tillman, I have read multiple places prior to the draft that he is the best playmaker that is not a guard in this draft. Grizzly getting him at 35 may end up being the biggest steal of the draft.
Nikola Jokic?
Maybe not at that level, but that would be nice.
That would be cool.
He's a little undersized, 6'9". I saw some concerns from Grizzlies fans last night on Twitter about, you know, 6'9", can he play the 5? He played the 5 in college. College, the NBA is obviously a different ball game, but he's not a little guy. He's, you know, 6'9", like, I think 266. He's muscled up.
He looked like a hoss.
He plays bigger than 6'9", so I'm not concerned if whether or not he can play the 5. I'm confident that if the Grizzlies send Xavier Tillman out on the floor at the 5 against anybody in the league, that he'll be fine. So that's the two big moves that they made. And we're excited about that. Like, I can't.
I'm stoked.
I'm still kind of in shock over the Desmond Bane thing. Desmond Bane, his stock, like, whenever we were first looking into people to cover for this draft, he was a mid-40s guy. And then his stock just kept rising and rising and rising. Patrick Williams is another guy.
Yeah,
he started off mid-20s, and he went 5 to the Bulls. So I didn't know where Bane was going to fall. When the trade was announced, it was just complete excitement for me. I was hoping. I spoke it into existence.
Yep.
Didn't know for sure that it was the Grizzlies. It ended up being the Grizzlies. They got Bane. Cannot tell you how happy I am.
That was cool.
That he is going to be in Memphis.
I'm not
going to
lie. He better.
All right. So let's talk about some of the other guys, some of the other things that happened. We talked about Killian Tilly. I went back. I know that we discussed him on one of the draft shows, and I did not get a chance preparing from last night to today with work and everything that's going on. I didn't have a chance to go back and find the episode where we talked about Killian Tilly. I will find that, and I will let you guys know in the next episode if you do want to go back. And just, I'll even get you a time slot where we talk about him so you can go back and just listen to learn more about him. But he's a big, he's a 6'10", he's stretch 4, play the 5, but he's a 50-40-90 capable guy. He shoots the ball well from 3. He was over 40% every year in college. He was a first-round talent. Not was. He is a first-round talent. They're just injury concerns with Xavier Tillman. Not Xavier Tillman. There's no injury concerns with him. Killian Tilly.
I was about to say, wait a minute, who are we talking about?
Keep me in line, Sam.
I will try.
Yeah. It's running together. I'm still excited over Desmond Bane.
That's what it is. He's still in shock.
Yeah.
That's
what it is. I can't even read anymore. My eyes are going crossed because of the excitement of
complete and utter shock.
Moving up to get Bane. So, Killian Tilly signed a two-way contract. He's going to probably spend the majority of his time in South Haven playing with the Hustle, but that gives him an opportunity. And it's also like a low-risk, high-reward thing for the Grizzlies with the talent that he has shown in college and the skill set that he has. If he gets healthy and he stays healthy, this is a guy that could easily move up to the big roster and produce in the next couple years. You've got 2 years on a two-way contract. Maybe he does it. You may see the 21-22 season, Tilly may be on the big roster. Another guy that they signed Jahlil Tripp. He's a 6'6", 6'5", small forward from Pacific, the West Coast Conference. He averaged 16 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. They just signed him to a 10-day exhibit contract, and that is probably going to – my guess is he ends up with the Hustle. Maybe not. There's a lot of bodies and only 15 roster spots, so somebody has to go. It wouldn't surprise me if he ends up on the Hustle for the season. Oh, he's got again limited time. I went and I watched some film to try and learn a little bit about him. He doesn't shoot the ball well. Sam, go ahead. You've got his stats over there. I gave the 16-9-2.
Yeah, that was this year's stats.
Yeah, yep.
I'd say he played in 33 games. He averaged right at 31 minutes. He shot over 51%. So I mean, that's really good.
Yeah, keep going.
3-point percent was 15.6%.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Holy crap! I thought that was a typo. Oh my goodness.
Yep.
How many did he shoot?
It was low volume. It was okay. Like it was less. It was less than two. It was like 1.5 or 1.6, something like that.
Okay. Well, that's still
so
awful.
So he's not a shooter.
No, that's still awful. But
he can – this is from the little bit of film that I've watched with him. Go ahead. I'll go ahead with the stats.
His free throw percentage is a little low, 71. As you said, rebounds is 9, assists is 2, 0.1 in blocks, and there's 1.5 in steals, and then the points was 16.2. So,
yeah, he's – he's definitely not here for his shooting. That is not why he's here.
No.
He's got a good handle. He can create space, get to the rim with his dribble, really good ball handler. He can finish through contact. But his defense is exceptional. Great defender. He finished in the top four in steals in the West Coast Conference all three seasons at Pacific. And he led this year, he led the West Coast Conference in win shares, defensive win shares at 2.1. So he's a defensive guy. He's got a great first step, can create the space with a dribble. If he develops a shot, I think that he could be pretty lethal. His ability to finish at the basket, he absorbs contact. He's got a great layup package. He can, you know, do some acrobatic stuff with the layups, absorb the contact, go up and under the rim. Take it, you know, take the contact and finish with his off hand. He passes the ball really well. Again, limited amount of video just in the amount of time that I had to watch. I'm going to go and watch more. But it looked like his passing was right hand dominant, which is something defense can adapt to, but it's also something that he could work on. And that may not actually be a thing because I've not watched enough on him. That's just the videos that I did find, that I did watch on him today, the majority of the great passes that I watched him make were right-hand passes, and I didn't see him moving the ball, passing the ball with his left hand a whole lot. So he definitely needs to work on his shot. He's not an awful free throw shooter. He shot 70% from the line. So for somebody that was so bad from three, he's actually a fairly decent free throw shooter. Just got to work on it, man. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a 10-day contract, probably going to end up in the G League. But it's clear if you go and you watch video and you watch him playing defense and fighting through screens, working, staying in front of his man, then he uses his length to contest the shot. It's easy to see why they signed this kid. But, you know, it's another low-risk, high-reward thing. Mm-hmm.
Can't get any better than that. Yep. I mean,
it's low risk. You're not spending a whole lot of money. If the kid works out,
you got yourself a decent player there. So I mean, it's a win-win.
Yep. Worst case scenario, you lose a little bit of money. That happens all the time. You overpay people. You pay people like, never mind, not going to do it this time.
Oh no.
And then they signed Sean McDermott to a two-way contract. Sean McDermott is from Butler. He's a 6'6 small forward. Sam, what you got on stats on McDermott?
What I've got on him, played in 31 games, right at 33 minutes played. Field goal percentage, 47%. We like to see that. Three-point percentage, 39.4. Hey, that's all right. That's a lot better than 15. So free throw, 86.8. Love to see that. Yes. Rebound 6.3, assists 1, blocks 0.4, steals 0.7, and points was 11.7. So, yeah, all around, yeah, like those.
He's a career 40% three-point shooter.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, just below 40 this year, but over his career he was.
Last year he had 40.6, and the year before that was 43.1. So,
he can shoot the ball. So that's a two-way guy. And then, you know, it leaves questions for the Grizzlies roster because you have – you know, there's Kyle Anderson that's a maybe, and then you have Gorgui on the expiring, which I don't think that's valuable. Gorgui is still a decent player. I think that he's on the roster, but he's one that's definitely expendable. You got Conchar. Yuta is gone at this point. Yuta's not going to be with Memphis. He's going to be somewhere. There's a lot of guys, a lot of bodies for only 15 positions. Mm-hmm. We went into, man, if I remember right, last year there were 21 guys for the 15 positions starting off. Mm-hmm. And then it
21 got, or 22, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, got narrowed down. So you'll see cuts and stuff like that. The Jahlil, you know, who knows? He may not show enough in the training camp to stick around. You know, he may be a quick cut. He may go in there and impress. It's, you just never know. But they've got a lot of guys. You got Jonte Porter. How's he going to do? Is he going to be healthy? A lot of bigs. Like, you know, with Xavier right now, and Sam and I were talking about this earlier, you have Xavier Tillman, JV, Gorgie Zhang, and Jonte Porter that are all bigs, and you're sitting here, okay, they're not going to have four bigs on the roster. All four of those guys are not going to be there.
They'll have two or three.
Maybe. Are they going to move Gorgie early? You know, Jonte may be a guy that's on the inactive list to start off. I don't know how he is health-wise. I know that last night in the post-draft interview, Kleiman was talking about Jaren and Winslow, and it looks like they're not going to be back at the start of the season, but didn't look like it was going to be long after that. So we'll see. They're going to take it. He said they're going to take it slow and make sure that they're healthy before they bring them back, and that's what you want to see. They're both young guys. Don't want to waste that talent by rushing them back. Now that we talked about the Grizzly stuff, I want to talk about one other thing, and I was actually going to lead off with this. But I got into the Grizzly stuff, got excited. I want to talk about the number one overall pick from last night, Sam. There were questions, you know, there was no clear-cut number one, but there was a consensus top three: Wiseman, Anthony Edwards, and Melo Ball. The night before the draft, I don't know when this article was written, to be honest with you, but I saw it the night before the draft, and it's an interview that Anthony Edwards done with ESPN, and he's talking about basketball and his life and what led him to play basketball. But let me just, I got it right here. I'm just going to read it for you. Let me pull it up here. Sorry, I lost it. All right. Here's his quote. "To be honest, I can't watch basketball." And then he goes into a story about the first time he dunked and how it signaled to him that he was talented and he may be able to do something in basketball that he was not able to do in football, football being his first love. So that's the direction that he went. Simple as that. Hanging up his cleats, that's all I needed to see after that dunk. And then there's the guy asked a question, "So when after that did you get into basketball?" Anthony Edwards, and I quote, "I'm still not really into it. I love basketball, yeah, it's what I do, but I'm just not that into it." What? Are you freaking kidding me?
Number one pick is not even into basketball.
If you're a GM, how do you – I get the talent. I've watched film on this kid. I watch what he can do. I was never a fan of his being a top three pick. I'm like, I will take Wiseman and Ball over this kid all day long. I'm even taking Denny over this kid. But then I read that. How are you going to – the number one overall pick –
is you're not even into risk. Basketball.
And there were guys, I was watching ESPN, and guys like Jay Williams and, oh my goodness, man, I just lost his name. He even played in Memphis, too.
That one guy.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. It'll come to me later on. But they were talking about it. LeBron James talks about when he's not playing, he's watching basketball. He's watching his competition. Because you can learn stuff. And talent is only going to get you so far. If you don't put in the work, you're not going to be just a superior athlete to these guys in the NBA. These guys are the best of the best. And Minnesota, I hope it works out for you. But how do you justify taking this kid number one after reading something like that?
Don't let Jimmy Butler talk to that guy.
Yeah, it was funny. Somebody tweeted out, they're like, Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns are going to get along really, really well.
Yeah, they are.
But Yeah, Karl Anthony Towns is talented, and you can go back and read stories about how he doesn't have a work ethic and the issues that he had with Jimmy Butler because Jimmy Butler's busted his butt to get to where he's at. How much better would Karl Anthony Towns be if he actually had a work ethic? Obviously, that's a what if. Ifs and buts, you don't know for sure. But I know that if I'm a GM, regardless of what his physical tools are and what he brings to the table, I read something like that. I don't know. I'm just not really that into it. I'm not moving. I am not pulling the trigger on this kid.
No.
After a comment like that.
No, I wouldn't either. LaMelo, come on in.
Exactly. I told you, I would take Denny Avdija, LaMelo Ball, or James Wiseman. Either one of those three guys over this kid. And that's before I saw this statement. Before, I don't know if I've even talked to Sam about it a whole lot, to be honest. But I've not bought into Edwards because you go back and you watch his Georgia film, you can see plenty of times that this dude is taking plays off. He's not putting in the effort. You can't really be that successful in the NBA doing that. There's going to be times, you know, night in, night out, 82-game season, there's going to be times when you do it. But this kid was doing it in college, and it was happening pretty frequently. I'm just not that into it. Nah, pass. He's going to flop. It's on air. I've said it on air. It's recorded. If he doesn't flop.
The next Anthony Bennett.
Yeah. Dude, that's what it reminds me of, honestly.
A little bit.
You got the talent. You don't have the work.
You're not going to. Gosh, that disappoints me, man.
You're not.
Waste a pick on somebody like. And I'm.
You get it. And it's a gamble, man. You don't know. Here's a perfect example at the number one pick. Greg Oden played for Ohio State in college. Portland takes him with a number one overall pick ahead of Kevin Durant. Portland's hating life right now because of that. But had Greg Oden been healthy, was a monster in college.
Beast.
So, I don't fault Portland for taking Greg Oden. Oh my God, why didn't you take Kevin Durant? Are the six teams that chose somebody else above Steph Curry... You don't know. You have no idea. You can go back and watch college film, and Greg Oden was just as good, if not better, in college than Steph Curry was. You don't know. Steph Curry had ankle issues in college. Golden State's like, you know what? We like what we see. We're going to take a chance anyway. And I think it worked out okay for them. I think they done pretty well taking a chance on a guy that had some injury history. Bottom line is you don't really know what you're picking. You go back over the last five drafts and you look at the 60 kids that got drafted. How many of those guys are going to be in the NBA long term? And the list is not going to be long. You don't hit on every one. You miss some. It happens.
It is what it is.
That's right. Yep.
But go back to that Steph Curry thing.
Yeah.
Hasheem the Beat.
Was dude, picked, I know. Don't,
pick two.
Don't even say that name.
Pick
it makes me
two.
It makes me cringe. It makes like the Timberwolves had two chances to get him, and they took Johnny Flynn right before him. I don't even want to talk about it. I wasn't even going to bring up Tabeat. I hate you, Sam. I hope your next baby is born naked.
I'm sure they will be. So
anyway. We're going to leave it at that. We got nothing else to talk about. There was a lot of moves on the draft front, a lot of people moving up, a lot of pieces moving, a lot of guys. CP3 is a son. Danny Green has been traded twice. Where's he even at now?
Sixers.
He's in Philly. Yep, that's right. He was part of the Horford trade. Horford is in OKC for now.
Hey, if they hang on to him, they got a lot of experience there, so they've got a lot of veteran leadership. So
they do. They got Adams and Horford there. It is definitely going to be an interesting season. Shortened season, they're having the play-in tournament. I hope that once we get past these 72, like the modified seasons, so like the 21-22, I hope they get away from the play-in tournament. I'm not a fan of that.
I want to see how it is and then just kind of go from there.
You know, we had it in the bubble. I just...
I like that. I thought that was neat. It was different. There we go. It was different. It was cool to watch.
Yeah, it is. It is something different. Sometimes a change of pace is good, but I'm good on that front, man. Just give me the standard 16-team playoff. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Playoff basketball is amazing. Top 8 seeds from each conference get in there. Duke it out. Never know who's going to win. Let it rip.
All right.
Yep. They probably won't because this play-in tournament is going to generate them a lot of funds and money talks, so we'll probably see this moving forward. Speaking of money, go over to mybookie.ag. Our code is still valid. It is HoopBall. Go to mybookie.ag. Use our promo code HoopBall. It will get you a 100% initial deposit match. They have more lines and better odds than any other sportsbook out there. MyBookie.ag, promo code is HoopBall. It's, Sam, you know what I done last night?
What?
They had the draft, like, you know, you could pick the draft how you think it was going to go. And it was the top three, you selected where they were going to go for the top three. And then you had two players, and it's like, okay, which one is going to get drafted higher? There were 16 possibilities, and then I can't even remember what the winner. If you got them all right, you were in the pool for, I don't even remember how much it was. I went 15-1, Sam.
Jeez.
You know the pick that got me?
What?
Patrick freaking Williams to the Chicago Bulls.
Dang you, Bulls. What's wrong with you?
Cost me some money. It is what it is. MyBookie.ag. More lines, better odds than any other sports book out there. Go check them out. Use our promo code HoopBall. Get that 100% deposit match. And win some money.
It's, well, not really free, but it is money.
You
though.
Have to put it in play. Yeah. You have to put the money in play. So let's say, Sam, that you go to mybookie.ag. You enter our promo code HoopBall. And you deposit $300.
Yep.
Now, instead of your 300, you have 600 to wager.
That's pretty dope.
You go in, you place your 600 in bets, right? You put that extra 300 into play.
Yep.
And you win, you pull your 300 that you deposited right back out, and now you're playing on house money.
Bingo.
All by going to mybookie.ag and using our promo code HoopBall. 100% initial deposit match. Mybookie.ag is the website. HoopBall is the promo code. Get over there, get your money, check out the guys at HoopBall Gaming. We got the premium, all of the HoopBall fantasy stuff, all of the packages, they are out. You can go and get HoopBall 360, $12.99 a month. It gets you the wager pass, the fantasy pass, the Brewski 150. If you are a fantasy basketball player and you're not buying at minimum the fantasy pass, you're missing out. The Fantasy Pass is $4.99 a month. The Fantasy Pass includes the Brewski 150. The Brewski 150 is made by Aaron Brewski, our leader here at HoopBall. It has outperformed every other list in the industry for 10 years straight. 10 years straight, position for position, top 150. Aaron Brewski's Brewski 150 has outperformed it. $4.99 a month. Go check it out. There's a lot of extras in this. There's player breakdown, teams, depth charts, anything and everything that you want for fantasy coverage. You can find it over at hoop-ball.com. So head on over there right now. Immediately, you're listening to this. You play fantasy basketball. You want to win your league. hoop-ball.com. Get in on it.
They have everything, and I'm not kidding. We looked at it the other day, and I can't even put it in words how amazing it was. They have a breakdown of every player where they think they should be ranked, and they have injury reports. They have career stuff. They have everything.
There's no way that we can tell you everything that the team here at HoopBall covers in the fantasy pass. Go check it out. It's $4.99 a month. Just like Sam said, it's worth every single penny of that $5 a month. There are a lot of things that are going to go on throughout the season, videos and day-to-day updates. Hoop-ball.com. Get over there, get signed up, and start winning your fantasy league. We're going to leave you guys with that. You can find the show on Twitter at that's the website, Dave. We're on Twitter at HoopBallGrizz.
There you go.
I am at DWell2111. Sam is?
It is SammyB1118. That's a capital S, lowercase A-M-M-Y, capital B-1118.
Thanks for listening. Until next time, go Grizz.
Go Grizz. Jaeger.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.